I'm Reinhard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 135 for the weekend starting 29 April 2016.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll find South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we chat about Nkosana Makate's victory over Vodacom at the Constitutional Court.
Also this week, local ISPs come out in support of net neutrality, but why now? And MTN trials LTEU, but was it really first in Africa, or even South Africa as the company claims?
Let's get the show on the road.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Reinhard?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thanks. End of another week, and we have a couple of craft beers to drink this
week. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much to the person that dropped it off.
Well, cool. That's Martin Kutsia, who is a fan of this podcast, who came up last week, and we went to a concert, actually.
Oh, nice.
He was very kind to bring us these beers, so thank you, Martin. So, as always, let's get started with our quiz. We'll give the answers at the end of the show. Quiz, of course, just to see how on the ball you were this week with your following of the tech news space. Reinhard, do you want to kick it off with the first question?
Yes, the first question. MTN gave its former CEO, Sifiso Dabengwa, a golden handshake of how much?
Second question, related. Apart from Sifiso Dabengwa, two other MTN executives were given severance packages to leave early. Who were they?
The third question, which mobile network operator became the latest to switch on an LTE advanced network?
Fourth question, how much has Nkosana Makate said he wants from Vodacom for allegedly inventing Please Call Me?
Oh, what a win that was.
Indeed.
And the last question, MTN this week tested LTEU at a site in Joburg. What does the U in LTEU stand for?
Great. Some easy ones there and some not so easy ones. So we'll get to those questions at the end of the show. But let's get kicked off with the news. And there was one story that dominated the news this week.
Oh, yeah.
Reinhard, and that was the Constitutional Court victory by Nkosana Makate, the former Vodacom employee, who claims to have invented, and the court agreed, the Please Call Me service, which has become so massively popular in South Africa.
Certainly changed the way the whole generation uses the cell phone, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Especially the those who can't afford to make a phone call. And it's really transformed, I think it's transformed the telecommunications industry, and it's now used across the world, especially also, in emerging markets.
Yeah, yeah, and also the advertising that was slapped on it afterwards. You know, yeah. you started getting Please Call Me's with ads on it. I mean, I'm sure they made some money on it.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it was good too. Well, I mean, I guess we'll never know the real insights to the story, but... It has been very interesting so far.
Anyway, but it's an interesting story from a number of angles. The first is that Makate was being defended or took Vodacom to court. The company that was that did this from some UK-based firm, I forget the name. Suggestion that the UK firm is doing it purely to make money out of this. This was I'm not sure what the term, legal term is. I'm not sure it's a malicious prosecution. I think it's the suggestion is that it was a money-making exercise by this legal firm. The other interesting one here is that Nkosana Makate is claiming 15% of the 70 billion rand he claims Vodacom made from the service. Now that equates to 10.5 billion rand, and there's one of the answers to the quiz question. And I can't see how Vodacom could ever pay him that amount of money. It's not going to happen. The interesting thing now is that the court has ordered Vodacom to enter into negotiations to come up with what both parties believe will be a fair settlement agreement for him. Now, how do we determine what that fair settlement amount is? There's no doubt going to be a lot of lawyers involved in these negotiations. But the court ordered that if they can't reach an agreement, then the CEO of Vodacom, who is currently Shamil Yusuf, has to make a decision of what he feels is a fair amount to pay Makate. So at the end of the day, the court has really put this in Vodacom's court, court here. In some cases, like we saw in the SASSA tender, the South African Security Agency tender with Net One, they actually asked that the whole process of rectifying the situation be reported back to them on a regular basis. In this case, they haven't asked for that. They've simply told Vodacom and the Makate parties to negotiate a settlement, in which if they can't reach an agreement, then it has to be decided by the Vodacom CEO. Now, I can't see Vodacom agreeing to hand out 10 billion rand in this matter. I just can't see it. I can't even see them agreeing to hand out a billion rand in this matter, or even 100 million for that matter.
Yeah, I guess the only way that I can see them settling anything is to pay this guy a nice amount of money every month for the rest of his life, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, how much? It's put them in a very tricky position.
And the question is, what happens? I mean, what happens if Makate and this law firm don't like how much Vodacom is offering them? What then?
I guess also, who's got the deepest pockets in sustaining a fight like this?
Do you go back to the Constitutional Court? Can you go back to the Constitutional Court? I'm not sure you can. Do you have to then go back to a lower court, like the High Court?
Yeah, this thing could be tied up for a while, and you know, who's got the deepest pockets there?
And this also raises interesting questions about what this means for employees of companies who come up with inventions and ideas. I mean, if you're the employee of a company and you come up with an idea for that company during the course of your employment there, are you entitled to compensation? This court order suggests that you are.
That's got a repercussions for a lot of companies.
Huge repercussions.
But many companies that I've worked for, they do have clauses in their contracts, or most of them do, where, you know, obviously within the role of your job, certain things are required, and if out of those things come certain patents or a business product, that those would belong to the company. I mean, that to me seems like a fair piece to put in your contract.
So one wonders if Makate signed a contract that said that or not.
Mm.
If they did, presumably Vodacom would have raised that.
Yeah, surely they should have. I mean, surely there should have been a contract that he was tied to.
Yeah.
I think one of the things he said was that it wasn't really directly part of his job, so it could have been out of scope.
Yeah.
But still, maybe a royalty fee would be applicable in something like this. But again, you know, I would find it very difficult to believe that a company like Vodacom didn't have those things in place, especially for innovation.
Yeah. Although he was in the accounting department, so I don't know, maybe they have different contracts there. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Innovation doesn't usually come out of the finance department.
Sure. But I mean, I also never worked really directly in an innovation department within certain businesses, but I still had that as part of, it was a standard contract with the business.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, that is. I'm sure they would have gone through all of this in the court proceeding. So,
yeah,
it's quite strange.
Yeah, the one person who's come out of this looking very bad is the former Vodacom CEO Alan McCraig, who the High Court has basically accused of lying when he claimed in his book that he invented "Please Call Me" when he was watching two security guards trying to talk to each other or something. From the balcony of his office, they found that this was nonsense, and that it was in fact Makate that came up with the idea. So he's come out of this looking very bad, and I saw that some reports have said that he's not commenting, and that his ill health is preventing him from commenting. We know that he had a huge stroke back in 2013 when he was the CEO of Cell C, but he certainly hasn't come out of this smelling of roses, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing for this, of course, for me is that I think you may have run the story, Brechart, a couple of years ago, that, in fact, it was MTNers who patented the idea.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I think it was Ari Khan, if I remember correctly, who came up with the idea, or his team that came up with the idea at MTN many, many years ago, I think around 2000, 1999, somewhere around there. And they, in fact, I think patented it, if I remember correctly. So this whole argument,
I completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
But that then makes this. I mean, how can you award a patent or at least money to somebody who couldn't have invented it if it was patented before?
Yeah.
Before he said he invented it.
Wouldn't it be funny if Vodacom went back to court to fight this thing and came into court with court papers saying, actually, MTN, our competitor, invented this thing.
Well, they may have to do that to save some money. I mean, yeah, that's...
Would they do it? I mean,
no, probably not.
The PR campaigns, we see MTN versus Vodacom. We're first to do this. In fact, we're going to talk about it later in the show. But, you know, MTN and Vodacom historically have always been in a rush to be able to say we did it first.
Yeah.
And it would pain Vodacom enormously if they had to go to court and admit that actually their competitor MTN came up with the idea.
Oh, never a dull moment in tech.
It was patented, if I recall correctly, by MTN, and MTN decided never to enforce the patent, if I remember. Do I remember correctly?
Mm.
But you, it was you who did the story, right?
I'm sure it was. It was you. It was too long ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Anyway, fun story. And the court has given the parties 30 days to begin negotiations on the settlement, so we should have some outcome to it quite soon. So hopefully there isn't an agreement reached where there's no communication with the press, which is probably quite likely, actually. And we get to know the detail of exactly how much Vodacom pays to settle this matter.
I'm sure anybody in that position would happily settle for a settlement, but I don't know if that firm would want to just settle. For that. I'm sure they stand a lot to gain a lot here.
Yeah, and in fact, I think I'm not sure what the King rules say exactly on governance around this sort of thing, disclosure around this sort of thing, but I'm sure shareholders would like to be informed what the settlement amount is.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether they actually have to disclose it or not is open to question. You know, if it's a material number, then certainly they'll have to do that. Yeah, I mean, if it's 15% of 70 billion rand, which is what Makati is looking for, which you'll never get, they'll obviously have to disclose it because that'll have a meaningful impact on the share price.
Oh, yes.
But I just can't see a settlement amount of anywhere near that. It just won't happen.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting times.
Anyway. So the Internet Service Providers Association, which represents, I forget the number, it's several hundred ISPs around the country, from the big guys like Internet Solutions to the tiniest little ISPs. They put out a statement this morning, which is quite interesting. It's not the first time they've voiced their views on net neutrality, but it's probably the first time they've come up and said something quite as strong as this. Now, Dominic Coll, who's the head of regulatory relations or regulatory affairs at the ISPA or ISPA, came up with some very strong remarks. He said that net neutrality should sit alongside an independent judiciary, regular elections, and a free press as, quote, one of the most important hallmarks of a functioning democracy. That's probably the most the strongest comment I've heard regarding net neutrality from anyone anywhere in the world. And it's interesting that ISPA has decided to issue such a statement now, and I wonder if one of their members or one of the mobile operators or someone else in the industry has been doing something that they're not happy with.
Or there's been some talks behind closed doors about intent of doing something that the rest aren't happy with.
Yeah. So one wonders, what is this about? Why come out with such a strong, hard-hitting statement right now on net neutrality? I can only imagine that one of the industry players has started to block or throttle or shape something. Now, I don't know what the detail is, but it's I think it's positive anyway. If we take, let's assume there is no motive in this press release and they just wanted to put out a statement on net neutrality, there's always something behind it, but let's just take it at face value. I think it's really good that that the internet service provider industry in South Africa is coming out so strongly in support of net neutrality. I think it's a very important concept. It's a pro-consumer concept, I think it's welcome that a large industry body like ISPA has come out so publicly in support of this and is putting pressure on politicians who don't actually seem to need much pressure put on them on this matter because they seem to largely agree with it. In fact, the ISPA statement, quoting the Deputy Minister of Telecommunications, Klingiwe Mkhize, back in February, saying that... where's the quote here? ISPA said is encouraged that the importance of this principle has been explicitly recognized by the Deputy Minister. Mkhize said at a recent summit that all internet traffic must be treated equally without discrimination, restriction or interference, regardless of the sender, receiver, content, device, service or application. We've never really had an issue with network neutrality in this country to date. I think it's been a big issue in the United States, where you see internet providers and content companies part of the same grouping. And some companies looking to provide differentiated access to certain content platforms, but we haven't really seen it in this country, not yet anyway. We've seen shaping, but it's not based on any sort of competitive instinct. It's more of a way of providing uncapped services at a reasonable price rather than actually trying to hit out at a competitor who's providing some service that you don't like.
Yeah, yeah.
I think most ISPs in this country are quite happy to have a lot of traffic flowing over the networks.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I can see this could be some impact, though, obviously there's over-the-top services, which could arguably be a cause
OTT
of...
OTT could be an issue.
But also, all the movies, streaming services were popped up. I mean, there's a lot of affiliation with these guys and some other players, I guess, within the network of companies. So potentially there, I mean, that's the only other really performance-demanding paid-for service that I could think of that would require something like this.
Yeah.
Or could potentially.
Yes. It could be the mobiles. I mean, the mobiles are... if anyone is going to break net neutrality rules in this country, it'll probably be one of the mobile operators, especially in light of what they've said about OTT services in the last few months. Vodacom, I'm thinking Vodacom and MTN specifically, although Telkom's made some noises in that area as well. Cell C seems to have come out quite in favour of OTTs. So they're probably aiming at the mobile operators.
Yeah.
Who I stand to correction, but I don't think they're ISPA members. Telkom certainly is not an ISPA member.
Mm.
Anyway, it's an interesting one.
But at least we've got the right people fighting the right cause. I mean, well done to Dominic for coming out with this, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we need to take a break at this point. We'll be back right after this message.
Hello world, hello information, hello uploads and downloads, hello streaming videos and low latency, hello blogs and vlogs, hello crystal clear video calls, hello increased productivity, hello online learning, hello cloud, hello long lost friends and missed connections, hello limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef? Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, welcome back to the show. How's it, Rafa?
How's it? Thanks for the beer.
Pleasure. So, last news story we talk about this week is LTEU, which stands for, and here's another answer to one of the quiz questions, LTE unlicensed. Now, MTN put out a statement this week saying that they are the first mobile operator in Africa to pilot or to trial LTEU. Now, it's quite a technical solution, but I'm going to try and explain it in layman's language if I can. Basically, what it involves is taking licensed spectrum and matching it with unlicensed spectrum that has traditionally been used for Wi-Fi. So they'd take, for example, LTE spectrum, say, in the 1800 or 2.1 gigahertz spectrum, and then pair that with, say, the 5 gigahertz band where where Wi-Fi has been used typically for by wireless ISPs and also in your home for your, you know, if you connect your ADSL or your fiber to a Wi-Fi solution, you typically use either 2.4 gigahertz or I think it's 5.8, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It's just people just tend to shorten it to 5 gigahertz. Now, the mobile operators are eyeing this unlicensed spectrum as a means to particularly in indoor type environments, like shopping centres, that sort of thing, to kind of supplement the mobile bandwidth or the spectrum that they've been allocated already, because the allocations they have in licensed bands are not sufficient to deliver the sort of next generation broadband speeds that are being offered by LTE, LTE Advanced especially, and then in a few years from now, 5G.
Mm.
So what they're planning to do is use this unlicensed spectrum and pair it with their licensed spectrum to offer services. And I understand this is mainly for indoor use. It may have an outdoor application at some point in the future, but mainly the operators are using it at the moment for indoor use. Now, MTN has tested this at its flagship store in Morningside in Sandton, where they got about 200 megabits per second on the downlink, and they were claiming that they were the first in Africa, but I see Yanni Fancel, the executive head of innovation at Vodacom, is saying that actually Vodacom piloted this a year ago and got 500 megabits per second, so we were talking about the pissing contest in the two operators.
It never ends.
No. Did they test it first? Vodacom says they didn't, but It's an interesting technology, and I think it's got the Wi-Fi community a bit concerned as well. The WISPs and also the guys who provide Wi-Fi in shopping centres and airports and all that sort of thing. Because what happens if the mobile operators start to use this, say the 5 GHz band, which the Wi-Fi guys are using at the moment? Are we going to end up with massive congestion of our Wi-Fi hotspots? What about vast networks? Yes. Partners with Always On and other companies, these guys provide dedicated hotspot services. If the mobile operators suddenly start moving into that space and using other or using unlicensed bands to provide or to supplement their licensed wireless broadband offerings, are we going to end up with this situation where there's a huge amount of interference, and is that going to degrade or have a negative impact on the Wi-Fi providers, and is that can we then draw a conclusion that this may in fact be an anti-competitive move by the mobile operator to shut out competition from the Wi-Fi providers? Or am I going too far with that sort of train of thought?
No, I mean, the way that I understand it, you're 100% spot on with that, and something we should be concerned about. And again, this is something that GASA should be monitoring and actually, you know, be the guys to really drive this push it to the ground. But we know that, especially in shopping malls, Wi-Fi has already become such a massive part of every company's offering virtually. You know, even some shops now offer free Wi-Fi. It can't be good when you have competing technologies for that spectrum. Even if they don't directly overlap, if they're within the same gigahertz frequency, it's going to cause some problem, because somebody's going to do we've already seen people playing with the wrong settings, and then it kills everybody else's hotspots. We've seen this.
I mean, presumably the mobile operators know how to... the operators do know how to manage spectrum. So one hopes that if they come into these unlicensed bands, they're going to do it in a way that doesn't disrupt other players by flooding the spectrum. And there are rules about how you're allowed to use the spectrum. Sure. I mean, ICASA puts specific rules on the maximum power output, for example, of a hotspot. I mean, not everyone listens to that.
Yeah.
Those guidelines or those regulations, those rules. But you'd imagine that the mobile operators would certainly comply with the regulations to prevent the spectrum from being flooded.
Mm.
But it's going to be an interesting one, and I think we're going to see a lot of engineers and regulators, etc., having a big fight over this issue of LTE in the coming months and the coming years. And it's going to be a fascinating battle, actually.
It is. I would love to hear what the wireless guys are saying, because this could also potentially take business away from them. If you suddenly have much better indoor data on your mobile device, there's no real need for you to use those wireless hotspots.
Mm.
I also see some conflict there, potentially.
Potentially, yeah. Anyway, that covers the news this week. Let's move on to our regular features, and let's start with our winner and loser segment. Quite easy to do this week, actually. The winner this week is obviously Kosana Makate for his constitutional court victory. Whatever you feel of the outcome of this case or whatever, you know, he eventually gets paid out by Vodacom, whether it be a small amount or a large amount. It is whichever way you look at it, a victory for him over. And it's been compared in so many ways, and I think correctly, to a David and Goliath battle. Mm-hmm. David has won. So well done, Mr. Makate. Spend your money wisely.
Don't sell everything just yet. Let's just wait for this thing to play out.
And then our loser this week, by the same token, has to be Vodacom for the same reason. But I'm going to pick on them for another reason. And that's something that popped up on my phone the other day. I presume other people are seeing this on their smartphones as well. And now, this is actually the second time I've seen this on my phone. I saw it the first time I set it up, and I ignored it. I recently upgraded my Sony Xperia Z5 to Marshmallow, Android 6.0. And whenever I do that, I reset the factory settings once I've updated the software, because it always speeds up the device and makes it much better. Good advice, by the way, if you've got an Android phone. If you upgrade, do a major upgrade of your Android, say to Android 6.0 from what you were using before. What is the previous version? KitKat.
Yeah.
If you do that, it's... no, it wasn't KitKat. Yeah. L. What was L? Android L. Lollipop.
Oh, Lollipop, that's
Lollipop?
It.
Was it Lollipop? Getting confused. Yeah, there's been so many of them.
Yeah. It was some edible thing.
It was Lollipop, yes. When you do a major upgrade like that, it actually is well worthwhile, once you've completed the upgrade and checked that everything's up to date, is to go in and then reset your phone to factory settings. Obviously, back it up first.
Hmm.
Reset to factory settings, and you'll find that quite a decent speed improvement. And I've certainly noticed that on my Z5. It's a lot snappier than it used to be. So Vodacom has put its it's a term that you use on PC, and I'm going to use it here as well, crapware, on the phone. I really wish they wouldn't do this. Apple would never allow Vodacom or any other mobile operator to put its crapware on its iPhone devices. Anyway, for better or for worse, Vodacom puts its own software on this phone, and when you boot it up, it goes through the regular Android setup process, and it says, thank you, you're ready to start using your Android experience. Start. Next thing, Vodacom pops up and said, we are now installing your Vodacom applications. No. All the stuff you don't want.
Can you stop that process?
No, you can't. It's insidious. You try and get rid of it, you close the app.
It's because you're on a Vodacom network that it does it, because surely if you update the software, Android...
I think the mistake I made was I bought the device. I'm on Vodacom, but I don't get these devices from... I don't get the phone on contract, and I don't pay it off over a period of time. I buy cash.
Okay.
So I bought this phone in December last year from a Vodacom store. So it was a Vodacom.
Vodacom, so I had the SSID on there.
Vodacom had their grubby little paws over it, and they put their software on it. So when I start it up now, when you reset it to factory settings, or when you set up the device just to start, as I did when I bought this phone in December. It starts up this Vodacom app installation software. Now, I tweeted this the other day, and what it says is the sort of headline in the dialog box that pops up. It says switch to your mobile data, and then it says you are on Wi-Fi using the Vodacom network as a faster option to set up your apps. Please press mobile data if you want to switch, and then a huge bright red is mobile data, and next to it, in a much less
like the cancel button almost.
You like the cancel button is much less visible. It says use Wi-Fi. Now, how many people say switch your mobile data? Quickly read that without thinking. And Vodacom says I should do this. Okay, I'll hit mobile data.
Mm.
And then get nailed while all of their apps get downloaded over their 3G or 4G.
Exactly, initial. I mean, that could be a few gigs if you have a lot of stuff.
I've got 2 gigs of apps that download every time I set up a phone.
That's terrible.
Now, can you imagine? I don't want to pick up, I don't want to be ageist here, but, imagine a little old granny who gets her phone and sets it up and says, oh, look at this. Vodacom's suggesting that I must do this. Okay, I'm going to better click on this. Next thing, she's got a 10,000 rand data bill.
Yeah, I mean, what really gets me about this is there's no talk of cost. I mean, we all know that Wi-Fi is cheapest.
They need to say on here, this may have an impact on your cost, because you're going to pay mobile data rates, and they don't do that. It's dishonest.
Exactly what I was thinking. I mean, it's just... you might be faster for an LTE network, and if you don't really have a good Wi-Fi connection... Mm. But that certainly is incorrect if you're on a fiber-based Wi-Fi hotspot in a building. I mean, that's just not right.
Yeah. Fortunately, I think most people are smart enough to know to click the Use Wi-Fi button, but it's going to catch a few people out. So
even have that to be disingenuous about?
They're trying to trick people to use the mobile data network so that they can make money. That is all that's about.
Exactly.
Anyway, so for that Vodacom, you are our loser of the week. But we have another loser. So Vodacom, you're not alone. the loser this week is the CWU and members of the CWU, specifically who work at the post office, who have decided to go on strike next week.
Again.
And this organization is crippled, and the CEO is warning that the strike could actually tip it into the chasm. But no, they are going to go on strike because they need more money. Never mind the fact that this organization is on the verge of disaster and bankruptcy. We must have our wages increased. And we're going to go out on strike, and never mind the consequences. So, post office workers, members of CWU, you are joint losers with Vodacom. I'm sure that makes you feel bad.
Yeah. Maybe it's just time for the post office to close its doors and start afresh somehow.
What's your pick?
My pick. So, as you would know, Duncan, I'm quite a fan of beer and all things beer-related. The pick that I have, it's not available in South Africa yet. It's coming at the end of May. It's a product called Physics. Now, before I explain to what the product is, this was a Kickstarter campaign that started in the States last year by some beer aficionados and some clever people
Okay.
who wanted to basically produce a product that would allow you to pour your beer in such a way that you have that you kind of get the on the off the tap kind of taste.
Okay.
Now, what the physics is, it's a tap looking device. It's like a big plastic unit with a tap handle on top. It's got a little pout that pours out, and you can put your glass in front of it. So I mean, it looks for all purposes, it's a draft okay. machine. What you do is you put your beer on the inside of the machine. Yep. There's a little plastic tube that goes in. It goes feeds into the beer, and as soon as you then push the tap forward, it pours the beer at a very specific rate into your glass. It firstly seals, sucks out all the air, and then it pours the beer. But what's interesting about this is it uses sound waves to gently vibrate the beer as it flows. So you get optimal flow rate that really kind of enhances some beer flavor. Yeah. Now, what I found with this, it works particularly well on your SAB-style beers, your lagers, your Castle, Heinekens. Even your milk stout is quite good on this. Craft beers, not so much, because craft beers are already very fresh and they kind of, you know, just have a very specific taste you don't want to mess with. But this works very well with fizzy beers, any lager type beer.
Okay.
I was very skeptical at first, but I was pleasantly surprised. I've had a few friends that try it and they, you know, they drink beer on tap, Castle and Black Label, and they loved this. They thought it was quite, the taste was certainly enhanced. But it's a lot of fun to use as well. It's called the Physics Beer System.
Heaven knows Castle needs enhancement.
Yeah, look, it's certainly, if you're a Castle drinker, this will definitely be the gadget to get. But it's well worth trying out. If you see it around, or if you know us, we'll invite you over and have some beer on this thing. It's very interesting. It's the most interesting beer gadget I've seen for a few years at least. And it makes drinking specifically SAB beers a lot more fun. But yeah, the physics. I'll bring it next time, Duncan, and we can try. And you can tell me your opinion.
Okay. So that's physics. FIZZICS.
Yes, that's it.
So where do you get this from? Where do you buy it from? From the website.
You can buy it from the website, but they are launching it in South Africa. Oh, right. I got it from them. They're launching in South Africa end of May.
Okay.
So yeah, well worth checking out. It's probably going to retail.
Did you get it from the website, or will you
From what I believe. And nobody knows this, but Mentality will have them in stock first, and then other distributors will have them.
Okay.
And they're probably going to go for...
Mentality.
It's a website. They sell gadgets and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, otherwise, just go check out physics.com or keep an eye on Facebook. I'm sure there'll be lots of hoo-ha about it. But it's well
interesting. I'm going to go look at Mentality.
clever name.
This is number one online shop for me.
And they've got some good stuff. They've got some really good electronic gadgets, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, well worth checking it.
Star Wars.
the Star Wars branded braai utensils. Some good stuff to spend your money on. If you want to buy somebody a voucher, that's definitely the place to do it.
Oh, there's some cool stuff here.
But yeah, that's cool. The physics from our side. It's really interesting. It's not going to work for all beers, and if you like ales, it's probably not going to be the thing for you. But if you're a fizzy beer lager drinker or kind of any beer with some fizz in it, this thing is very interesting. Like I said, sound waves, it works on four AAA batteries, there's no other kind of wizardry in there. It's really sound waves and some vacuum pouring.
My pick this week is something I haven't been playing with around for too long, so I can't go into a huge amount of detail about it yet, but it's an intriguing little app called Let Go. It's not a South African app, but it's available. It works here. They seem to be just getting off the ground in South Africa, so there isn't a huge amount of content on there just yet, but it's a very interesting concept. That it's basically classifieds based on your location. So you can see what people are selling around you in your neighborhood, in your vicinity, and you can sell stuff to them. It basically takes the classifieds concept and makes it hyper-local.
It looks like Instagram, which is very cool. Yeah. Not Instagram, sorry, Pinterest.
Oh, but yeah, it does. You're right. It's available for iOS and Android, and possibly for other platforms. I think you can use it on the web as well. But it's quite cool. I haven't actually sold or bought anything on it yet, so I can't, as I say, I can't vouch for it at this stage. But I thought I'd just put it out there because I've been looking around and they've got some interesting stuff for sale, even in my local area. Not a huge amount, but I think it's going to grow, hopefully. Go to try it out. It's called Let Go.
Let Go.
And I'm using the Android version, but there is an iOS version available. And that's our show, apart from the quiz results. So let's get kicked off with those. Let me start, Rachat. The first question we asked this week was, MTN gave its former CEO, Sifiso Dobengwa, a golden handshake of how much? The answer is 23.7 million rand.
The second question, apart from Sifiso Dobengwa, two other former MTN executives were given severance packages to leave early. Who were they? The answer, Michael Ikpokpi and Junaid Bulbulia. Sorry.
Michael Ikpokpi, of course, was the CEO of MTN Nigeria and the person most directly responsible for the fine fiasco up there. He walked off with a huge amount of money. I think it was 17 million rand in severance pay.
Sure.
And lifestyle benefits, believe it or not. And Junaid Bulbulia, I forget the exact amount he walked off with, but of course he was one of the first MTN employees. He ran MTN South Africa for a while, and most recently was group operations executive. And he also left MTN early and was paid to go. So those three executives earned 54 million rand in total in severance packages.
Good money.
The third question, which mobile network operator became the latest to switch on an LTE advanced network this week? And the answer is Cell C, and they launched that in parts of Gauteng and Cape Town, with plans to launch in KZN in the coming months.
The fourth question, how much has Nkosazana Makate said he wants Vodacom for allegedly inventing the Please Call Me service? The answer, 10.5 billion rand, or 15% of the 70 billion rand that Vodacom claims it has made from the service.
Well, he claims Vodacom has made from the service.
Made from the service, that's it.
And as we were saying earlier, it's highly unlikely that he's going to get it, but anyway.
Yeah.
The final question in this week's quiz, MTN this week tested LTEU at a site in Johannesburg. What is LTEU? What does the U rather stand for in LTEU? And the answer is unlicensed, as in unlicensed spectrum. And that's our show for this week. As always, if you've got any feedback, please do send us a mail. Our email address is info@techcentral.co.za. Until next time, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.